Welcome to Holden Village. Today, in the incredible Creekside Room, today's speaker is Julia Pashaud, and she will be speaking on Find Your Voice 1. So let's listen in on Julia Pashaud.
Today's workshop will be predominantly based in writing exercises. If you've been to the bookstore, there's a book there by Natalie Goldberg called Writing Down the Bones. And I recommend it if you follow any journaling practices or like to hear yourself think, so to speak. This is a class about listening within yourself, and it's a class designed to give you some tools to do that, to hear yourself thinking. There's a couple of repeats from yesterday, and we may be doing some similar exercises to yesterday just to get started. Writing Down the Bones by Goldberg. And if I ever get going too fast, because I often do, please just stop me and shake me. As I said, I teach theater, and it's interesting. Theater has led me to so many different places, intellectually, emotionally, artistically, and it's led me to writing practice. Many of my good friends are playwrights, and I myself enjoy writing poetry. I also journal, and I write academic papers. Please pull a chair up to the table. And so I do consider myself a writer. However, my writing practice isn't strictly creative writing. I want to start with a quote from Madeline L'Engle's book, Walking on Water, just to kind of give you a fix about where we're at. She's talking about even putting your thoughts down. And I like the way she puts this. She says, all right, so it's an impossible task. But thinking about it may open new questions, new insights. And as I listen to my silence, I learn that my feelings about art and about my feelings, and that my feelings about my creator of the universe are inseparable. To try and talk about art and about Christianity is for me one and the same thing. And it means attempting to share the meaning of my life, what gives it for me its tragedy and its glory. It is what makes me respond to the death of an apple tree, the birth of a puppy, northern lights shaking the sky, by writing stories. You all have different ways that you share your voice. Hopefully this 1 hour will change your life. But it will give you some... It better. Or I'm getting my money back. I'm talking about...
No, not better. For the better.
Yeah, for the... No, just... Yeah. Well, I hope so. That's always my hope. One of the things I think about writing practice is that it's not about creating fine art, but it's about hearing yourself think. It's about reflecting, digging deeper, putting your experience into words. There are some communication scholars who believe that your experience really is an experience until you put it into language. That language takes what we do, the concrete, you know, I feel this table. But I don't even really know what I'm doing until I can articulate it back. That's why I tell all my directing students, tell me what you're going to say. You can't just think it. It's fine up here running around in your brain, but you've got to put it on paper. You've got to speak it out.
I had an interesting dream as I was waking up this morning, and I wanted to keep it, so I thought about it, and I thought about it at breakfast, but by morning it was gone. You know, because I only thought about it.
Yeah. There are actually some writers suggest journaling your dreams, just waking yourself up, learning to wake yourself up in the middle of the night, and just writing, scratching. I've looked at my dream journal sometimes, and I don't do it very often because I frankly don't wake up very often. And I'll go, oh, this makes no sense at all, but I'm sure if I lingered on it, it would make some great sense. Today's not about product, and it's not about a linear process, but it's about... And it's not about telling stories either, but it's much more about wandering around in your garden. One of the first things I tell any artist, actor, director, writer, is that you need an image with which to characterize your practice. And it needs to be a nurturing image, and I always like the image of a garden. Rather than, say, I'm not creating something, but rather I'm sowing seeds. I'm cultivating the garden. I'm weeding out the deadly stuff, and I am reaping the harvest. But cultivating for me is a much more positive image than being a critic or being an editor, because cultivating implies to me focusing on the positive, the life-giving aspect of art. And that, I think, is our task today, to focus on the life-giving aspect. Hopefully this stuff will give you, in some ways, enhancement to your lives, give you back your lives, maybe even. For some writers, it has. One basic tenet. You can claim your mantle. Okay, and I say mantle in the sense of title, language, word. Whether it's writer, artist, creator. But it's important that you claim that and take it seriously. And it doesn't have to be weighted with huge responsibility. It's just simply claiming for yourself. And when we name something, we often take it more seriously. Have you noticed that? When somebody, you're introduced to somebody and they say, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so, suddenly it's, oh, a doctor. I'll respond to you. Or this is Jim. Yeah, he's Pastor Jim Oinous. Oh, a pastor. Okay. Yes, she's a writer, or she's an artist. It's a matter of responsibility and seriousness for yourself. Here's some tools and rules to go by. And these come out of Goldberg's book. I must think these rules are important because I keep repeating them all the time. They are in order. Keep moving. Don't think. Don't edit. Don't stop. Let go. Go for the jugular. And find your sweetheart. I'll just kind of briefly touch on each of those. Keep moving. It's important in writing practice, in any practice, to do it as often as you can. It's a sign of seriousness. Doesn't mean you have to do it at the same time every day or even every day, but there must be some sort of a discipline about it. It's like riding a bike. You know, once you stop, you sort of wiggle and fall down. With writing, once you stop moving the hand, you start to question, you start to think, you start to edit yourself, and then all the creative practice goes, okay, your brain just goes, I can't do this anymore. Don't question it. Just go with what comes from you. Because you can edit it later, but before you can edit it or form it or shape it, you have to just let go and be with it for a while. Go for the jugular. If you're thinking juicy, gritty, nasty, squirrely thoughts, write them down. You can keep them just for yourself. That doesn't mean that you have to share them, but you need to get them out. It's important. Because if you don't, you just swallow them back and they don't go anywhere. And finally, find a sweetheart. I'm sure all of you have an inner critic, that voice that goes, oh, why did I wear this death dress today? Or that was a stupid thing to say. We tend to beat ourselves up with regularity. Instead of beating yourself up, find a way to counteract that. You're going to have plenty of people in the world giving you criticism or giving you advice. Find a way to positively pat yourself on the back. I did well today. I sat down and wrote. Or I really like the turn of phrase in this sentence. The rest of it I'm going to throw out. But I like this one sentence. Find something positive in your work. Give yourself strokes. Because you need to. You above all need to do that. Okay. So those are Goldberg's rules, and we'll see them put into practice. Now, the first exercise we're going to do is called clustering, and it comes from Gabrielle Rico's book, R-I-C-O is her name, called Writing the Natural Way. And in Rico's book, she talks about creative practice. A lot of my thinking on creative practice has been drawn from Betty Edwards' work. Do you remember Drawing with the Right Side of the Brain? It's a book that came out about 20 years ago. She wrote a book after that called Freeing the Artist Within, I think. Freeing the Artist Within? Yeah. And in it she talks about, instead of right and left brain, which I think is a sort of artificial divide, even though they've done research, it tends to be very, very all-encompassing, as if okay, here's your right side, and the right side does all of this, and here's the left side, and here's all of this, and let's split the corpus callosum and see. But instead, Edwards talks about design and sign mind. And we won't do much more lecture. This is just sort of the beginning, started ground rules part of the class. What Edwards says is that you have two kinds of thinking processes. She doesn't ascribe them to a side of your body or your brain. And she talks about the design and sign mind needing to work together in order to do complete thinking. Design mind is the part of your mind that's responsible for taking stimulus. You know, we're in a world where there's tons of stuff out here, and we need to process that. And what the design mind does is allow us to order this, okay? So it orders and patterns. So for instance, I see something like this. These are triangles and rectangles and circles on the board. And my design mind starts to go, oh, I see, and it starts to group, it starts to order, okay? So it just sort of clumps them together. What the sign mind does, when it begins to see the order, it begins to sequence and focus and give direction to the stimulus. And so suddenly, this little marker is naughty, suddenly what we begin to see is perhaps this. Start knowing where to go, we know what we need to say, essentially. We're going to do a little exercise called clustering or mapping. How many of you have done mapping or clustering? It's really simple. Two people have, because they were here yesterday. It's a very simple exercise. I'd like you to take the word heart, and on the center of your page, or on a space where you've got a fairly, like at the bottom there, I want you to take that word, heart, circle it. I'll tell you a little bit about the circle, and this is something that Rico talks about. The circle is a symbol of beginning. It's a symbol of energy, of birth. It's one of our most organic forms. It's one of the first figures we see in early primitive art, and I like the circle for clustering because it's sort of a symbolic connection to those beginnings. What the cluster is, oh, and she drew a heart. Isn't that great? That's okay. What the cluster is a starting place. What you're going to do is do a stream of consciousness list, okay? And the importance of clustering, just one rule to remember is that I'll show you one sample cluster, one sample leg of a cluster. Heart. Okay, now, my stream of consciousness list reads heart, soul, mind, breath, God, life, clay, hands, potter, wheel, turn, turning. It would go on. You'll notice that each word is connected to the word before. It does not go back to the original word. You just let the original word serve as the impetus, and then you just go from there. Okay? What I'd like you to do is, using the word heart, just write one leg of your cluster. Just, and you can write a list like this. If you're comfortable writing this way, you can do that. Some people like to do arrows. Heart, mouth, hand, toes. Okay? Some people, it doesn't matter. There's no formula to how you do it. But if you would just look at your word and begin, and clustering out from there. Wow, cool. Show everybody yours. Isn't that neat? Again, there's no right or wrong. That's just, I was taken by your visual image.
Well, I appreciate that I got to hear and you said stop.
Well, what happens with the clustering, we'll do another one, is that, could you show yours, Chip? You can let everybody see it. What happens is you'll find that you'll kind of stop. You won't have any more to say about this connection. And Jan? Good doodling, good doodling. Check it out. See, she doodled. She didn't cross out. At first I was going, she crossed out? She crossed out yesterday. But victory, give me five. Yes, she just doodled. So she kept her mind going. If you feel like you're stopping, you start a new cluster. you know, so it's gone now. But, you know, I got to the end of one, it's like, okay, I can't think of any more, too bad. Hearts, legs, body, mud, play, whatever. Let's hear some of these. If you don't feel like sharing, just say pass. There is no right or wrong in this exercise because it's your brain. Your brain is naughty today. No, there is no right or wrong.
There's left or right, but not right or wrong.
That's right. Very good. Who wants to start? Just anybody jump on it. Okay.
Child, soft, vulnerable, protected, surround, empower, trust, grow, release.
Great. Would you read the starting word first?
Child.
No.
Heart.
Yeah. Heart. As we go on.
Heart, red, blood, life, hope, dreams, visions, realization, fulfillment, sharing, caring, love, giving.
Great.
Heart, love, giving, accepting, thanking, gratefulness, praise, God. Stop. Heart, family, Sue, my daughter, posterity, continuity, history, impact, change, growth.
All right, Marcy.
Heart, love, child, young, baby, God, love, life, gift, nature, tree, flower, birds, air, song, music, flowing, life, fulfilling.
Good. Okay.
Husband, family, loves, sad, glad, tomorrow, happy, hugs, home, quiet, peace, love.
Get back to love again.
That's all right. Repetitions are great. I think you'll find repetition a theme in literature. So, are you joining us?
Yeah.
Well, pull up to the table and
we'll get you started.
Marcy will give you your materials. Okay.
I'll pass it to you.
Okay.
Heart, legs, toes, elbows, fingers, nails, hammers, boards, wire, bill, shell, kneel, deal, table, card, bar, broom, shed, shop.
Great. Good. No, good wide ranging. Heart.
Heart, lungs, breath, life, death, grave, cemetery, stones, rock, mountain, high, air, airplane, stewardess, coffee.
Okay. I think you did. Did you hear a shift in this one? Where was it? Where was the shift? Yeah, it was the airplane.
Airplane. Yeah.
Okay. Jim.
What? Mine's really weird.
That's okay.
Heart, broken, spilled, full, anger, hate, shift, love, time, energy, apple pie, thankful. Pleasing, wish, dream, no.
Great. That's nice. Lots of nice shifting in there. The reason I point out the shift, and the shift is important, is because it's a sign that the sign mind is kicking in. We talked about the design and sign mind, and the design mind orders the stimulus, and then the sign mind sort of sends it on its way. And it's like your mind has suddenly put all of these packages in place and patterned them, and you suddenly know, that's what I want to say, okay? We're going to do another cluster. You may want a second sheet, or you may want to just work off the same sheet. This time I want you to write as many legs as you can. The cluster is a stream of consciousness list that just comes from one word, okay? And our word is going to be, what is our word going to be? Sleep. Sleep. Since I'm doing a lot of that today. The cold. Sleep. I'm not giving you enough time because we're so pressed for time. Really, today is just about showing you the tools. The nice thing about clustering, I think, is that it's a useful tool in a number of venues, not just for writing. I used it when I was writing my dissertation. Anytime I would get tired of academic writing, which is sort of straightforward telling an argument, I would take the idea I was struggling with and I would cluster it just to give myself odd connections. If you're having a problem and you're trying to name it, you say you're struggling with your daughter or son or child or with a worker, cluster their name. It helps you get a sort of an emotional flow around the problem, but it also helps you name some things you might not have realized were going on. Let's share just a couple of these. Did anybody feel shifts happen? Did anybody feel a shift happen?
I thought you said you wanted two legs, and I didn't know how am I going to do this? You know, I had to figure that out.
Well, you do as many as come. You can do two or four or one or several.
I don't know when the other leg starts.
That's okay. It starts when the first one ends. Okay, There is no, there's really no right or wrong. Let's just share a little bit of this. Let's have a couple people go, and then we'll go on with the next exercise. Who'd like to jump in? Do you feel like sharing? Okay.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just a recovered insomniac, so this is very tricky. Okay, sleep, can't. Then I had to do insomnia, medication, restoration, relaxed, life-filled, escape, friend, time-consuming, pattern, necessary to my health, energy-producing, God-given, gift from God, natural tranquilizer.
Great. Good. Good. Let's hear another one. Marcy, would you?
Tired, snooze, rest, peace, tranquility, soft, river, smooth, glassy, listening. Light, sun, bright, mirror, reflect, object, thing, kind of.
Okay, did you hear the shift there? The glassy, when you started to get into the whole image of the river, you got a whole new sort of set of images. That's the shift I'm talking about. That's when the sign mind is kind of playing with new material and sending you on a direction. Let's hear one more. Anybody who cares.
Sleep, bed, head, comfort, deep, darkness, safety. Back to sleep. Is that what you
mean? Yeah.
And then sleep, awake, bright sun, flowers, trees, plants. And then back to sleep, ship, rolling wave, water, tower, stream, fish, dinner. Sleep, storm, lightning, bright and dark.
Great. You had a good shift in there. That real strong shift. Did you hear the strong shift when he's talking about? It's a third one. Would you read that one again?
Sleep, ship, rolling wave, water, tower, stream, fish.
Yeah, very strong visceral images. That's what going for the jugular is about. It's picking strong images that are in life. They're embodied, in the body. Here I'm hitting myself, but that's okay. Okay, what I want you to do is take a clean piece of paper, and I want you to write at the top. We're going to do what's called a timed writing. And I want you to write, sometimes I feel like, at the top, just the sentence. And basically, this is an unfinished sentence for you to complete and then to continue on. This is like essay writing, which you just write whatever comes to your mind. It's the next step in the clustering. So you write, sometimes I feel like, and then you can go up. You just keep writing. Writing. Don't send to yourself, don't stop, keep your hand moving, doodle if you have to. Okay, and begin. And stop. Well, clue about time writings. If you feel like nothing's coming, then do a cluster, just free write. Just take the word that's in front of it, repeat it over and over and over until something else comes, but keep your hand moving. Part of, I think, Goldberg's principle is that when the hand slows down, you feel like you're starting to move through mud. And you just even repeating a word over and over and over becomes an excellent way to just kind of keep the energy flowing. Would a couple people mind sharing? Be gentle with yourself. Okay? Try it. One of the principles is that everybody else is out there and they'll give you criticism. So the first principle is just be gentle with yourself and accept it. Even if it feels dumb, it is what it is. And it came out for a reason. Do you mind sharing it?
I'll read it and I'll be embarrassed for the rest of my life. I'll feel okay if everybody criticizes it because it needs to be. Sometimes I feel like I don't know what I want to do. No, I know what I want to do. I just don't have the courage. I keep letting all kinds of stuff and ideas stop me. Like, if I do what I want and it doesn't work out, I'll have all these regrets. Right now, I feel like hiking for a week, but I can't. So I feel like leaving home, but I can't do that because I like to keep commitments. So if I stay at home, I'd enjoy it a lot more if I went to sessions. That's why I'm at this session. I'm enjoying it.
Good. Good. That is fine. That is fine. jump in, really. There's no right or wrong.
Go for it, Rocky.
Sometimes I feel like a baseball hit over the fence, wanted by the kids but outside of the reach of, or like a kite flying high and seeing everyone below, wanting to be there on the ground but needing someone to pull a string down to get me there. Why don't I wait for the wind to stop? Oh, it never stops. It just fills my spirit full and bells my sail until the sunset of life, where all life blossoms like a flower. First one petal, then another, with dew on it.
Great emphasis.
Wow.
Great emphasis. A lot of emphasis. Okay, let's have another one.
That's very strong.
A hard act to follow. Sometimes I feel like running away from all my responsibility, leaving the house, driving, going west. Maybe to the mountains, Hurricane Ridge, with flowers, deer, sunshine, and view. Shoes off, standing in the meadow. Rent a room in an old PA hotel. Find a bookstore, browse by books. Get dinner, read. Onto the coast by sunset.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
Class is over. Okay. Hey, Laura, why don't you join them?
Sure.
Join the group. This is Laura.
Hi.
We're gonna do an exercise now called Word Chase. It's like clustering, but it's done in a group. And all it is we begin a free associative string of words, okay? Nothing is wrong, everything's fine, so speak whatever comes to mind. Bluebird! No, you can't enjoy it.
Can you do prairie?
Well. Enjoy it well.
Enjoy it well. And? So. Hi.
Quickly.
Fled. Away. Scared.
Of. Darkness. And
I.
And I loved
running toward my
light. Period.
Right, running it. Okay, this is what you got. 1 6-day long vacation. Ruined. Rain, mud and dirt, stuck in there. So clean was the house, flooded after thunderstorm, rainbow, and I decided to go outside and enjoy it. Well, and so I quickly fled away, scared of darkness, and I loved running toward my light. This is a nice exercise for just kind of getting a group energy going. It's a good free writing exercise if you have a group of people who enjoy getting together. It's a great game. It's just a fun party game, actually. And a party game to boot. Okay. So that is called Word Chase.
Is this to see if people get along or not, maybe?
No, not at all. Okay, a couple of more exercises. I'd like you to get a piece of paper, and I'd like you to fold it in half. This is an exercise designed to play with language. It's called Action of a Sentence. You just need to have clean sides. You could use that because you know it could be if you've got a piece of paper that's written on. May I use yours? She could use what's clear here. She could just split it where it's clear and use this side and this side. You don't need a lot of space for this. Okay. On one side of your paper, your page. Split. On one side of your paper, I want you to fold it in half, and I just want you to write 10 objects or nouns. It can be table, chair, window, stool, grass, trees, car, whatever. 15 of them, or 10 of them, rather. 10.
You mean nouns first or verbs?
Nouns. Write 10 nouns. Now, go to the other side of your page, and at the top where you have verbs, I want you to pick a profession and write it down. Cook, baker, fireman. Make it an interesting profession. Somebody who does something with their body or hands.
Just one?
Just one. One profession.
Write that?
Yeah, write that down. What you're going to do is, using that profession as your guide, write down 10 to 15 verbs that that person does in their profession, like a baker whips, scrapes, kneads, okay? Just a whole variety of verbs. What you're going to do is, you know that word matching thing that you've done since, like, you were small in grade school, you know, random choice. I just want you to draw some lines randomly matching nouns with verbs. Don't pick them to make sense. Just draw some lines very quickly. There is no right or wrong here. Don't have to be.
I've run out of. Well, I have fewer.
You don't have to do them all. That's fine. What you're going to do is check some of those combinations out, and you're going to write sentences. The sentences will not make sense. For example, if I take the word lilac and slice, say I wrote the word lilac. The lilac sliced the sky with purple. Okay? Blood and buzz. My blood is buzzing like a hornet's nest. Okay? So use the nouns, and then use the verbs with the nouns. Make the nouns the actors in the sentence. For example, let me look at Flora's here. My finger experiments with the salt on the table. Okay? Just make the noun the actor. It'll be much more interesting. Okay? Don't make it a passive sentence. Make it active. It's called the action of a sentence for a reason. There is no right or wrong. Have fun with this. Don't push yourself.
Short sentences.
Yeah. Share a couple of these. Can we hear you this time, please? Please, I'm sure it's wonderful. Okay, next time.
Well, you know, I put all I in ING's.
Oh, that's
Am I all right to change it to an ED then?
Heck yeah.
I mailed a chair to my son.
Okay.
Now I have mailing and chair.
Okay. How would we make the chair active in that sentence? So how do we take you out of it? The chair becomes the actor. Let's play with that sentence.
What are the nouns first? Chair.
The chair.
And mailing.
Yeah. The chair mailed itself to the boy because it was lonely. Okay? All right.
It's all the time in French.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Can we hear one of yours?
The boat manipulates the wavering will of its owner, tugging at her to come away.
Wow, there's a lot of action in that sentence. Okay. May we hear yours?
Boys chisel away at their own images.
Oh, that's really slick.
Yes.
That's nice. Because it's true. Anybody else? Let's hear another one. May we hear one of yours?
Mine sounds don't sound very...
That's all right.
I had a house in paint. The house is in need of paint.
Okay.
And the car is shiny clean after the wash.
Good. How could we use car and shine together? So the car is shining something. Or the car shines something. Just play with it. Anybody?
You mean like the car shines its light?
Yes. Right. So the car, again, the car is the actor. Don't think in terms of passive sentences. Think in terms of these objects being active. That's why this is a great playful exercise. It's just something you can do. If you're bored, say you've got 10 minutes, do action of a sentence. List some verbs, list some nouns, and go for it. Make some combinations. What happens is it gets your mind shifting out of the sort of traditional, she picked up the book and read it. the book read the boy, you know. It just sort of changes things around and makes it more interesting. Okay, we're going to do another exercise called modeling as we're closing in on our time together. And modeling is an excellent way if you have a favorite author and you like their writing and their poetry, model what they do. Take some of their sentences and play with copying them using a different subject. We're going to use a piece of Raymond Carver's work, and I don't know what it's from. This comes from Gabriel Rico's book, and it's about making similes. Okay? And Carver's writing reads, I was as dizzy as a dervish, as weak as a worn-out washer, as low as a badger's belly, as timid as a titmouse, and as unlikely to succeed as a ballet dancer with a wooden leg. Okay. Raymond Carver, very visceral if you know his work. I've written some similes on the board that are waiting to be filled in. And what I'd like you to do is just take one of these and circle it on your page. And then, using the clustering example, begin clustering out. For example, writing is as hard as a rock, wedged by time, as weak as a kitten, fresh from the womb. I don't know, I'm making this up as I go on along. As subtle as the prairie at sunset. I don't know, I'm just making this up. And I hate this marker, but you just write as many as you can from the simile that you pick, or make one up. My brain is as dry as whatever, toast. Make something up. Find something that works for you. And I just want you to cluster out as many as you can from one of those similes, okay? You may begin.
Stop.
What I want you to do is I want to hear some of these shared out. And all you need to do is start with your basic object, whether it's my body is as tired as blah, 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 as blank as blank. Just continue with your metaphors as if there's a comma between them, with your similes as if there's a comma between them. Okay, you said you would share, so it's your time. No. Please do.
She was as confused as a bird flapping in water. And comma, platypus flying over the moon. Is that what you mean? No.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
As a drunk driving in a cockpit for the first time, a baby when first entering the world.
Nice. I wish you shared sooner. Good work. Would you share?
Sure, I had the same one. She is as confused as a cow on the freeway, a bumblebee in the desert, a tree without leaves, a lover without his love, supper without dessert, an evening without darkness.
Oh, nice job. Fun. Let's hear another one.
I'll do mine.
Okay.
She took it.
What?
My body is as tired as the little engine who couldn't. It feels as worn as my child's first blankie, now in rags, thread-worn and placed in the safekeeping of a plastic bag. It is as worn as a farmer's pair of 20-year-old overalls and as spent as the last drop of water from an empty canteen.
Great.
Can you tell I went hiking today?
We have a minute, and I'm going to end on a quote for you today. This is tomorrow. What we'll do is, if you'd like to join us, is this is the groundwork, but tomorrow we're going to talk about actually creating a practice for yourself in which you learn to, how do I put it? You learn to more regularly exercise your voice, your muscles, so to speak. And what that means, both within a Christian perspective, you know, in terms of praise of God, because I truly believe practice is praise, but also within the perspective of your life and the need to speak, to hear your voice spoken. So we'll be doing a few more exercises tomorrow, and we'll be doing a little more talking about this. So please join us if you can. Same bat time, same bat channel. This is from Madeline L'Engle, again, Walking on Water, Reflections on Faith and Art. And she says, Great art, great artists. Well, what about the rest of us little people struggling with our typewriters and tubes of paint? The great ones are still the best mirrors for us all because the degree of the gift isn't what it's all about. It's like the presents under the Christmas tree. The ones which came from Woolworths may be just as rejoiced over as the more expensive ones. And best of all are those which are handmade and which may have cost love rather than money. Perhaps it's something like the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Maybe those who worked through the heat of the day were the Michelangelos and the Leonardos and Beethovens and Tolstoys. Those who were able to work only 1 hour served their gift of work as best they could. And as in Alice in Wonderland, everybody gets prizes. There is the same quality of joy in turning a perfect bowl on the potter's wheel as in painting the Sistine Chapel. The important thing is to recognize that our gift, no matter what the size, is indeed something given us, for which we can take no credit, but which we may humbly serve, and in serving learn more wholeness, be offered wondrous newness. Picasso says that an artist paints not to ask a question, but because he or she has found something and wants to share, cannot help it, what he or she has found. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you tomorrow. All right, dish to you.
We're done.
Where do you teach and what ages?
August 9th, and I teach college. I also work with younger kids.
If we could collect the pens, I would be very grateful because they have to go back upstairs. And, please don't be shy about coming back, even if you don't feel very successful with what we did today. It's not about succeeding, it's about playing with it and learning new skills. Gotta fall down on the bike just a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great fun having you. And I hope we'll hear you more tomorrow if you want to.
What should we do with paper on the field on both
sides? It goes to the recycling bin out there.
That was fun.
And this is my own pen. Thank you very much.
Well, then you go see that.
Did you make one too? No, I didn't. I chose to go to some other things, but they look fun.